Revelation chapter 5, starting in verse 6. Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was standing between the throne and the four living beings, and among the 24 elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which represented the sevenfold Spirit of God that is sent out into every part of the earth. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll and the four living beasts and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song into these words: You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it, for you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God, and every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on earth. Then I looked again, and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne, and the living beings, and the elders, and they sang in a mighty chorus, Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, they sang, Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and the Lamb forever and ever. Hallelujah! That is who we worship. Brent, lead us. Sing it again, church. Now you know what you are singing. Satamora. Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive the power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. You are the King of Kings. We came to worship you, Jesus. Anything and everything we have, we lay aside. We throw our crown at your feet. We need you, Jesus. This is about you, King. Fire of the living God, come and consume. Consume the selfishness. Consume what doesn't look like you, and let your fire burn in us, God. Anoint us. Heal us. Set us free. Fill us up. Mold us, shape us, set us on fire, Lord, and then send us with your Spirit and lead us to where you've called us to be. God, you're coming back soon, Jesus. You are coming back soon. You are coming back soon. You are coming back soon, and we are excited. We are excited. But the harvest is plentiful, and the workers are few. Raise us up in the days of the harvest. Raise us up in the last days. Anoint us with your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit, God. I pray that the power that is inside of us is strengthened by the honor that we give to you, God. Lord, we gave you honor this morning. We read your word. We recognize you are the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of this world. We recognize we are nothing and we have nothing without the cross and the resurrection. We recognize through our recognition of what we did this morning in communion that, God, we have life and we are living because you are alive and we are in you. But, God, I pray that the church not be... lazy, God. We can't be lazy. Give us a new appreciation for what you've done. Let it not be a routine thing. Humble us, God. Humble us before your throne. You are worthy, King. You are worthy. Lead us into battle. Lead us into battle like a good king does. You go before us in every battle, Lord. We are behind you. We support you, God. And even if I don't understand what's going on, I trust you. I trust you. We're living in a time, Lord, and I know you know this, but I know you like for us to talk to you. We're living in a time of the Laodicean age, where we're turning from you and turning to ourselves, God. We're setting up idols and we're worshiping those things, God. Forgive us, Lord. I'm reminded that you've told me over and over again, the power is in the repentance. God, we must repent. Lord, forgive us of the United States of America and what we've made it. God, forgive us for killing babies. Too many babies being held by Jesus now. Forgive us, God. Forgive us of not seeing your word for what it is and following after things and calling sin what it is. That people are confused if they're man or woman and they want to be who they want to be. God, you've called us to be who we are, and you made us on purpose. You knit us together in our mother's womb. And Lord, we have spit in your face and said, I know better than you. Forgive us, God. We need the cornerstone. We need the cornerstone. There's a rebuilding coming, church, a rebuilding, and we need to build on the cornerstone, on the foundations. Forgive us, Lord, for building on the sand and not on the rock. Lord, we love you. Lord, may you have your way in this service today, God. I thank you for the worship. I believe that you heard the worship we had this morning, God. We honor you and we respect you, God. We give you the highest honor and praise. We say hallelujah to you. We say you are worthy, and there is nothing and no one else. God, we love you with all that we are and all that we hope to be. Lord, may you anoint my lips to preach the gospel this morning. Lord, I have words on a paper, but you are the Spirit that lives in me, and you've anointed me to preach the good news. May that come forth today. God, may you give me the anointing of the gift that you've placed in my life at this time, God, and may you use me. And I pray for each and every soul in here today. May you open them up and receive. God, all the ones that have hard hearts, may you right now dig deep and dig that soil to receive the Word of God and the seeds that need to go in. And all the ones that are hurting, may your rain fall on them, and may you soften the ground to receive the word of God. May they leave today, each and every person, changed for the kingdom of God. We must walk out looking more like Christ, and may that be today. We love you and we worship you. You are the King. You are the King. The King. Gave a word and there's not a person to interpret, it's your job to interpret, so go ahead. What's God saying to your heart? Amen. Amen. Church, let's celebrate. God has been speaking to us all morning. Amen. 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 We got to go, church. Amen. You may be seated. God is good. Actually, I'm going to change that. God told me to change that this week when I was saying that. God is great. He's not good. He's great. He's much better than good. He's great. He's. If there's a word that we have in our English language for better than great, that's what he is. And then put that in the Greek, man. I don't know. Good morning. It's good to see you all here and not camping in the rain. Glad that you're here. Some of you maybe got out of the rain and came here today, this morning, to be in the presence of God with other believers. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. It's my pleasure and honor to bring God's word to you today. And I believe God has a good, simple, but powerful word for you today. Pastor Cody, you did an excellent job in communion this morning. That was a great word. You did a great job and just brought us right to exactly what we needed to remember. So good this morning. Yeah, you know. Just like Pastor Cody. See, Pastor Cody is a Christian before he's the youth pastor. And his call, just like all of our call, is to grow more in God. Amen? You should be stronger today than you were last week. You should be stronger today than you were 5 years ago. You should be growing in the Lord. I understand there's hiccups and bumps, but if you're in your word and you're following God's presence, you will grow and you will produce. Amen? And if you are not, it's not God's fault. Amen? It's not God's fault. We like to blame God when most of the time it's our fault. Amen? Or we like to blame the devil. The devil's not in everything, by the way. He's a being. He can only be one place at one time. Right? Look, we got to look at ourselves sometimes. You know, there's times in life you just have to step back from the grind, from the mess, and from the busyness, and say to yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? What is the purpose in all of this? Do you ever ask yourselves that? You get out of the grind, you get out of all that stuff that you're doing in your life, and you just step back, like you just kind of, I'm going to leave that there. Why am I getting so entangled with all this stuff? Or what is going on in my life? I need to reevaluate what's going on. If you do that, raise your hand. Some people. If you don't, right now do it. Right now. Why are you living? Why are you living? Why are you not dead? Reevaluate. I want to pray a specific prayer. So let's pray. Lord, I'm reminded in your word, it says we come to you with thanksgiving and praise before we bring anything to you, God. And I want to give you praise and thanksgiving. This morning, the worship that we just gave you with offering and tithe and in communion and with songs and with worship with one another, and people fell on their knees and on their face, and people were just recognizing who you are and what you are, God. I want to give you thanks for your spirit, God. I thank you for this church that we've always felt your presence. Lord, I pray that your glory come more and more each and every week as we come closer, and we want to seek you so we can find you. Lord, I'm thankful that you are always able to be found if we come after you. You never leave us or forsake us. You're a great God, and we worship you, Lord. And I ask that right now, will you please help us refocus and not lose our purpose in our pressures, Lord. God, give us a fresh eyes to see again the reason why we are here living at this time and these gifts you have given each and every person and why you have put us in these times with these specific people. Lord, I'm reminded that I want to be about your kingdom purposes. Will you help us think eternally? And we can only do this in the name that's above every name, in Jesus' mighty name. God's people said, amen, amen. If you'd like to turn, our main scripture today is in Ephesians 2, but I want to read a few things. The Bible teaches us a simple but profound purpose why Jesus was here on earth. It's found in Mark 10, verse 45. It says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. So it's September 2018. Can you believe it? Our son's in kindergarten. I can barely believe that. He's already had a full week of school. And this is Labor Day weekend. Amen? We got a good crowd for Labor Day weekend. See, it might be Labor Day weekend, and you might have a day off tomorrow from your earthly job, but there is never a day off as a Christian, concerning the harvest. Amen? I pray, whoever listens to this later, I pray that wherever you are, the campsite or gone somewhere else, that you don't think this is a week off. All you are is a new place with a new opportunity to preach God's word. You're around other people that don't know Jesus. So with your messy hair and maybe your teeth aren't brushed and maybe your feet are nice and muddy, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. You're welcome, people listening. I love you. See you next week. So you're in a great place this morning, amen? Amen. Worshiping with other people that love Jesus and are ready to change their life for the kingdom of God. Are you ready to change your life for the kingdom of God? God has given our church here at First Open Bible a main focus theme for this month of September, and it is serve. I want to take a second here to talk about something that we've already kind of talked about. If you've never been to this church or you haven't been here long enough, I want you to know that this is a church that believes in holiness, right? That's not a word you hear very often anymore because of relativism all over our country. We like to say what's good for you is good for you and what's good for me is good for me. And as long as you don't bug me with what you got going on, then I think everyone's happy. There's multiple ways to the top of the mountain, right, where God is. But Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way. There is one road, and it is dusty, it is dirty, it is narrow, and you have to climb it. There's only one way to the Father. Amen? We're about holiness issues here. We believe sin is sin. Now, I want to say this too. There's not one person in here today that is perfect. There's not one person in here today that does not sin. There's only one person that ever lived. His name was Jesus Christ, and that's who we came to worship today. So just because we believe and we stand on holiness issues does not make us better than anyone. If anything, it should make us lower. Should make us understand even more how much we come with dirty rags, man. And that we need the blood of Jesus to wash us as white as snow and to wrap us in clothes of righteousness, God. But my heart hurt this week reading something. I was born and raised in the United Methodist Church in Oregon. My grandpa was a Methodist minister for 60 years. Nobody in my family is in ministry, so I didn't quite understand this whole thing. I'm learning every single day as well, and I'm blessed to be in this kind of position because God has called me and separated me. But the foundation of who I am and the things that I believe in, and I love and respect the United Methodist Church because it taught me honor for the Word of God. It taught me honor for the church itself, right? Why we want to dress up, why we don't wear hats, why we do this and that, don't bring food into the sanctuary, why we do all these things, because we're honoring the Lord in these things. He's given us a lot of traditional honor, but my heart broke this week because of where they are right now. The Laodicean age is upon us, church. They're right now discussing social principles. Quote, they need to become more theologically grounded, more globally relevant, and more succinct, which means bring it together. They're going to do a revision of their social principles in 2020, and their main one right now is abortion. Breaks my heart. Now, if you've had an abortion or you know somebody that's had an abortion, this is not to shame you. You have been covered by the blood, just like everybody else in here. And if the devil wants to lie to you in the next couple minutes, tell him to shut his mouth. It is under the blood. Amen. But listen, killing babies is wrong. I was knit together in my mother's womb, were you? I'm glad my mommy didn't abort me. But for us to think that we have to be culturally relevant, I don't know about you, but I don't technically live here anymore. I'm seated in heavenly places, and my job is not to judge the world. Jesus is going to judge the world, but my job is to be different so the world can look at me. We are here, church, for the world. The world doesn't tell us what to do. America should not influence the church. The church should influence America. It's not okay. But I truly believe it's because the pulpit has been weak. Weak. You are supposed to read your word on your own, yes. But God is supposed to give me, as the pastor, a word for you to equip the saints to do the works of the ministry, to equip you to go out and do things. God has plans for you. And if we just preach grace, 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 under the blood, grace, 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 do whatever you want, sending people to hell, man. You're sending people to hell. It is about the grace, but it is also, I want to be holy for He is holy. He's called me to be holy. I should look like Jesus, and me going and doing whatever I want does not look like Jesus. Each and every person in here today should have walked in with a cross on their back. You should have been bringing your cross in because you're called to die daily. I'm called to die daily. But we're just like, yeah, whatever, you know, it's cool. The Bible teaches this, is we get confused. It's the teachings of the world. The Bible says we get tossed back and forth like waves. We are living in an age right now, the church must stand up for righteousness and truth and say, I'm sorry, you have an XX chromosome and that's what you are. XY chromosome, I'm sorry, you can't go in that bathroom. I'm sorry, you can't do these things. I'm sorry, it's not okay to be gay or homosexual. God has planned you to be different. But I'm gonna love you through it. I'm gonna love you through it. I understand that we're all broken and we're all hurting. I understand that all of us are born into sin. And the Bible teaches us that our hearts are wicked and evil, right? There's nobody in here that doesn't have a wicked, evil heart. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need the Spirit of God to come and reveal things to our heart, to make us look more like Him. See, I haven't even started preaching yet. See, these things, though, here's the problem. I think there's two things that I've seen. Either the church doesn't preach it, or this, that we think that we're better than. Oh, because I don't struggle in homosexuality, then I'm better than. No, you're not. No, you're not. You need grace just as much as that person does. Just because I don't know who I am or what gender I want to be does not mean that you don't struggle with gossip. Doesn't mean that you don't struggle with unforgiveness. And you don't struggle with saying bad things out of your mouth, corrupt words. That doesn't mean that you have all this stuff in your heart. We have to love Jesus enough that we say, enough's enough, I'm going to make a stand. And I'm not perfect, I'm not right, I'm not righteous. But what I stand for is Jesus is perfect, Jesus is righteous. We have to preach truth. But then we have to preach truth with our life. You must preach truth with your life. And if you're like, man, I really don't know what's right and wrong, then I would beg to say that maybe you haven't read your word, because it's blatantly simple in so many aspects. It says that Jesus walked with every temptation, every single thing He faced. Yeah, He didn't have a cell phone and He didn't have to struggle with pornography, but he did at one point have lust in His life that He could have chose. There's so many things people just get, oh, well, He doesn't know because He didn't have the pressures of a working week. That guy walked everywhere, 40 miles to go see someone. He understands the pressure of hard work. These are things that we just think in our heads that Jesus didn't struggle with, but He faced everything and He chose to overcome it. And if that's not true, then who are we serving? Who are we worshiping if He wasn't perfect? Let me tell you, He is perfect and He is alive, and He's not just a spirit, He's a resurrected body. That someday we will have one like Him. We'll be caught up with that body. Jesus is coming soon. And what does the Bible tell us? We should be a bride, a spotless bride with no wrinkle, no sin. And if we think that we're just going to try to be, what's the verbiage? Globally relevant? You might as well spin God's face saying that. Jesus was already globally relevant when he died and rose again. Church, don't be against the world before the world, just like Jesus was. All right, let's preach now. Glory to God. Feel better. How do you feel? Feeling good? Feeling good? Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah like you're in a Pentecostal church. Set apart, set on fire, and have an anointing to do something in your life. Woo! Time to live, church. Time to live. The first commandment that God gave to mankind in Genesis chapter 1 was, be fruitful. Be fruitful. Brought some fruit this morning. And multiply. If you get fruit, you better not eat it. It's a rule in here. And if you don't, why is it a rule? Look at the stains on the ground. You know how expensive it is to clean those up? Bring water if you want. We'll see you walking in the church and smack something out of your hand. Not really. Be fruitful and multiply. In the natural world, fruit is a result of a healthy plant producing what it was created to produce. In the Bible, the word fruit is often used to describe a person's outward actions. And those actions were produced from the condition of their heart. Fruit that should come from a follower of Christ is produced by the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit that should be evident in all of our lives, if you're a believer in here today, listen. This is the fruit that should be evident in your life. You should have love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and you should have self-control. Be a fruit inspector, church. Be your own fruit inspector. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, I'm the vine and you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Go 11 more verses in verse 16. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I'm going to stop there for a second. Quit devaluing your life. You have been chosen by Christ. You don't think you're special or important, and you keep struggling with depression and these things that the enemy keeps saying in your life and these things in your life that you keep saying out of your mouth, I'm not good and I'm worth this and there's nobody that likes me, this and that. Listen, you were chosen by Jesus. You are valuable. It is a lie from the enemy. Let's keep reading. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, or fruit that remains, depending on what version you have. So the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. The thing about fruit on trees, church, is they're not there to benefit the tree. The fruit is to benefit others. The righteous fruit we were created to produce has eternal purposes. Somebody put on Facebook this week an awesome quote, and I'm going to read it from this very own house. By the way, use social media for the kingdom of God. Everybody's so against it because it's this and that. Listen, it is the greatest tool that God has ever given us. I can write something, and I have friends that are in Africa that read it like that. I'd have to fly to a plane and hand them a piece of paper. I just put it on there. Facebook post. May we never be the fruit tree people are seeking, only to be found barren. End quote. Church, you will pass on to others whatever it is that you produce. What kind of fruit are you producing and giving other people? God never gives us something just for us. Isn't that great? It's not just for us. It's always with a bigger picture. The fruit of our lives should impact others, and it should glorify God. Paul prayed this in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9, 10, and 11. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in a life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. The fruit we produce in our life should bring glory and praise to God. The fruit we produce is for others. So wrapping that all up, so the fruit in your life should serve others and glorify God. I believe why there's a reason why so many Christians are not feeling fulfilled today. There's two reasons I feel like God gave me. The reasons why we don't feel fulfilled is this. Either you're eating your own fruit, or you never gave it away and it became rotten. Forgive us, God. I've done it. You missed the point of life. That's why they were created. It's to give your life away so you can find it. We were created to give away the fruit we produce. Mark 8:35 says this, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. We were created to give our life away for the sake of others. Here you go. God loves you. You're awesome. God has a plan for your life. Right? Don't eat that in here. Thank you. You're special. You're sweet. God loves you so much. Handsome man. Right? God loves you. There's a call for you and your family to serve Him. Lead like the man of God you're called to lead. There's healing in His blood. Let your wife receive that. Think about this. The only way that you met Jesus is because someone else was willing to share their fruit with you by glorifying God. Last month, our theme was alive. And God was teaching us some amazing things, great things. And our main scriptures came out of the book of Ephesians. And if you're there today, if you brought your Bible to church, awesome. Turn to Ephesians 2. If you didn't, it will be behind me. I want to read a few passages and talk about that. What's cool is this. Remember when I said, and it says in God's Word, that the Bible is alive and active? Literally, God has given me the book of Ephesians, not only for last month, alive, but even today, talking about serving. Why? Because it's not just one direction that God can take you out of His scriptures. You can read the same thing again, and God can reveal a new revelation to you with the same exact scripture. Because it's not dead, it is alive. It's not just a history book, by the way. Did you know you live in the Bible? You're in the book of Acts. It hasn't been fulfilled yet. It's not over. There's still many things to happen. We are what the book of Acts talks about and prophesies and talks about what we're supposed to do. You're in the Bible. Hallelujah. You're the church. You're the body of Christ. You're anointed. You're called. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Once you were dead because of your disobedience, and many of your sins, You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander, and the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in our hearts, in their hearts, of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, right? I mean, just speaking to me. Following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature, by our very nature, we were subject to God's wrath and anger, just like everyone else. There's two kingdoms in this world: God's kingdom and the devil's kingdom, this world we live in. You are serving one or the other. Whatever's in your heart and whoever has your heart, you are going to produce fruit for that kingdom you are serving. Also, the fruit that we produce is going to feed the kingdom we serve. God saved us from his wrath because of his grace. And now we have a choice, church, to choose which kingdom we want to serve. Let's keep reading verse 4 through 7. But God is so rich in his mercy, and he loves us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that I have been saved. You ever change some of the you's to the you? You know, you apply it to yourself. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us. God can point to us. God can point to First Open Bible. God can point to you, to all future ages, as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. Do you know why God made you? So that your life can point to all future ages and generations as an example of his incredible grace that has been showed by you and through you by the love of Jesus Christ. Our unmerited mercy was shown by his sacrificial death. I exist, you exist, not only for God, but because of God. And I will serve him with my whole life. Why? Not because of something I've done. It's not because of something I'm going to do. It's because he saved me. And he loved me first. Let's keep reading. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So no one of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things. So we can do good things he planned for us long ago. You were created to be loved, to love, and to serve out of that love. You were created to produce fruit. Verse 10 says it like this. We were created to produce, quote, good things that he planned for us long ago. Do you know you're good at things that you're good at? You're good at those things. You know what I'm talking about. You're good at those things. You're really good at that. You might be better than most people you know that you're really good at. It's for a reason. God designed you like that long ago, so you could give him glory and honor by doing the things, the good things for his kingdom. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Each one of us has been given a manifestation. What is that? That's a gift. Each one of us has been given a gift. Do you realize you have been given gifts that I'm not good at? Somebody can say amen to that. You know that, right? I've been around you long enough to know that's true, right? Nobody wants to say amen now. You've been given gifts that I'm not good at. See, the pastor is not called to be all things to all people. But the church is. I'm talking to you, little toe. I'm talking to you, kneecap. I'm talking to you, hand. I'm talking to you, ear. I'm talking to you, mouth. I'm talking to you, lips. I'm talking to you, hand, thumb, something. You know who you are. I'm talking to you. You think that you're insignificant. But the body can't move without you and your gifts. Each one of us has a gift, and it is for the common good. God has given us all, through the Holy Spirit, a supernatural gift. You know you have a supernatural gift from God? If you do, say amen. I believe mine is preaching. When I get behind this pulpit, this is not me. This is the anointing of God. It's a gift. And may I use it for the kingdom. Ask my wife. Many, many years, I'd puke before I'd ever preach because I kept getting in myself and I wasn't being used until I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And then something changed, church. The gift just manifested itself in my life. What is your gift? Through His grace, believers, we are seated in heavenly places. And He anoints us with His power to do great works with the gifts He has given us long ago. Worship team, can you come up, please? Before we leave today, I want to ask everybody in here three questions. Number one, I want you to ask yourself this question. What is my job to do in the body of Christ? What is my job to do in the body of Christ? Number two, how can I serve the kingdom of God in a way that God has given me the gifts that I have? Not everyone's called to be the preacher, but everyone is called. Quit looking at someone else's gifts, looking at someone else's fruit, and saying, I don't have little cuties to give out. Here you go, cutie. Quit looking at other people's fruits saying, I don't got something like that. You know what? You got grapefruits, man. You got places to go bigger than I maybe will ever. And that's okay. God has given you fruits, but you have to use it for the glory of God. Another cutie. Siblings. Jeremy, I want you to bring something not so soft, man. You got it. We're going. I want you to bring some fruit, man. Get something sour. Get some limes going, man. Number two, that I just said, how can I serve the kingdom of God in a way that God has given me the gifts that I have? Number three, here's the question, third question to ask God. And I hope you're writing it down. If not, you can get on the podcast online and listen to it. What kind of fruit can I produce to honor and love God and His people? What kind of fruit can I produce in my life? I am still breathing, so I can still produce. What can I do to honor you, God, and to love your people? I hope you realize that the job that you work at during the week is not your identity. Talking to you, managers, owners, shift leaders, people that sit in a cubicle or behind a machine every day, customer service, blue collar, white collar, I don't care, dirty collar, no collar at all, put a shirt on. Did you realize that job is not your identity? That's a place that you go to get by. That's a place that you go to work so you can provide for your family and the things that you want to do. Or maybe provide for what God has placed in your heart. Maybe it's to buy a goat for somebody in the Philippines so they can live. The reason why you exist in your identity is to serve God and His kingdom. Your identity is found in Christ. And He came. We're supposed to look like Jesus to this world. Is that right? If that's right, say amen. We're the body. He's the head. Together, the Spirit of God moves. Our identity is found in Him. And why did He come? Not to be served, but to serve and to give His life, His fruit for many. Lay down your life, church, and you will find it. Give fruit to the ones that are hungry. Nourish the ones that need it. There are people starving and will die if you don't bring them the fruit, the bread of life, the water. You are called to produce fruit. In that job that you work or that place that you go to, don't be like what Facebook said and be a tree that they go to looking for fruit and you're barren. Produce fruit. 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 Mine are cuties. At least this morning. Being from the West Coast, I probably should have picked apples. Or grass. I don't know. We ship grass all over the world. I don't know. It's weird. We grow great grass there. Moving on. Church. Does God not deserve to receive everyone's honor and praise because of what He's done? Does not everyone, the ones that are dying and lost, the ones that think they have it all, do they not deserve to know the truth? Do they deserve to go to hell? They don't. 1 John 2:2 tells us, Jesus, He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for us, but also for the sins of the whole world. Revival in India, Lord. Revival in Pakistan, Lord. Revival in Brazil, God. Revival in China, God. Revival in Russia, Lord. Revival in Europe. Africa, every continent, every place, may there be a revival. May there be a revival in America, God. May there be much fruit. See, Jesus did it, and He did it for all. We must be the hands and feet of the body, and we must serve. We cannot be a body of Christ with amputated ligaments. We must serve the kingdom of God and can't do it out of obligation. Oh, the word says to do it, and the pastor's been talking about it since the moment he was up on the pulpit, almost 2.5 years ago. The Great Commission, don't do it out of obligation. What does that produce? That produces bad fruit. Sour fruit. Really immature fruit. Not ripe yet. Bite into it and it's nasty. Do it out of the heart that is in love with God. And in love with God's people. See, that produces fruit. Good fruit. Fruit that the Bible says that remains. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see. And out the rest. Taste and see. Sir, taste and see that the Lord is good. 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 Sorry, Jay. Taste and see. If you can recycle that. Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It's good to serve the Lord. It's good. It's good to produce fruit for Him. Church, will you stand? So today, before you go, I want to remind you of a verse that you have probably read many times, but it's a powerful and incredible verse. Romans 10:15 says this, and how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. Church, go and produce the fruit of God for the kingdom of God. I'm going to pray, and before we go, we have prayer teams that are going to be in the sides and in the back. They would like to pray with you. We're going to sing a song before we go. But all that doesn't matter. All that doesn't matter if you don't walk out looking more like Jesus and that you be a barren tree. God wants you to produce fruit in your life. And here's the facts is this. You will produce fruit in your life. But whose kingdom is it feeding? With every head bowed and eyes closed, I want to talk to you about this man named Jesus. He lived 2,000 years ago. See, God designed and created man and woman to have relationship with Him. And there was a day that man and woman chose their own path other than God's path. And they sinned, and that relationship was cut off. And they've waited for thousands and thousands of years for the Messiah, the soon and coming one that would save them. And this man named Jesus lived 2,000 years ago, and He was a fulfillment of so many prophecies. He is the Son of God, and He died for all of our sins. But what's awesome is this. It says He didn't just die. See, there's lots of people that believe in a lot of different religions or relationships or these things, and they believe in Buddha or Krishna or whoever. But the thing is, there's only one person that has ever rose from the grave. They're dead. But Jesus is alive. And the Spirit of God is alive. And if you don't know this Jesus that we've been talking about and preaching about with every head bowed and eyes closed, here's an opportunity. It says in the Bible, that's what we read and believe in. We believe that's God's word. It says in the Bible that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and He was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. It's the beginning of the greatest life ever. The greatest adventure you ever be on, and you will produce fruit that will blow you away. So many people in here today, I'm going to speak this. You're going to have fruit like the land of Canaan. So plentiful and so big that it's going to take two people to carry it. But if you don't know Jesus as Savior, I just want you to raise your hand. I want to agree with you. If that's you today, you don't know Jesus as Savior and say, I need a Savior. I need this Jesus. Will you raise your hand? I just want to agree with you. Anybody here on my right or on the left of where you're standing, is there anybody that says today? See, the Bible says we're not promised tomorrow. Is there anybody today that says, I need this Savior. I don't want to produce fruit in the wrong kingdom any longer. That's you today. Will you raise your hand? All right, the section on the left over here, on your right. Last chance, at least for today. If you have tomorrow, is there anybody here that says, I need Jesus? Will you raise your hand? I want to agree with you. Wonderful. We've got believers in here. People heard a seed, or God was watering it soon. And very soon, there'll be a harvest in that life. Church, before we go, I want to pray for all of us. Produce fruit. Produce fruit. Produce fruit for the kingdom. Everything that you do, let it be for the Lord. Father, we love you and we thank you. God, we ask that you give us, Lord, give us a new orchard to live in. Give us a new valley to grow in. Oh, there you go. That's for somebody in here today. The reason why you've been in a valley for so long and you thought that it was a place because you've been waiting for the mountain, it's because God is planting you in the valley at this time to produce fruit to those people around you. And if you weren't in the valley, you would have missed it. They wouldn't have been able to go and get the fruit that you have in your life if you would have been on the mountain. You're in the valley at this point, at this time, right now to produce fruit. But one day, He will bring you back up to the mountain. You might be going through hard times, but God is digging deep for your roots to be planted. He's helping you in the dry and parched ground that He is going to have a new, just in your area, it's like you have your own little cloud and God is raining down and He's softening that ground so you can produce fruit in a place that is fruitless. And there'll be much, much, much benefit in that area and there'll be many fed for the kingdom of God. Lord, I just pray that each and every person that goes here today, Lord, I thank you for the holiday. I thank you for this church. I thank you for all the things that you're doing. But God, most of all, I thank you for you, that you love us, that you died for us and you set us free. And Lord, that we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for you. And God, may we lay down our life so you can live in us. And may we produce fruit, fruit that remains. We love you. And as we go today, may your Spirit go with us and lead us everywhere that we go. And may we remember that we are carriers of your presence and that the darkness has no jurisdiction in a place of light. Lord, it must go. And may you lead us into the dark places so your light will shine. And God, I'm reminded where the light shines, fruit grows. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen.